Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. We now have Chaplain John Durden by Dr. D.R. Bilsmore, Dr. C.T. London, Hawkman, Theodore, Jackson, Montgomery, Wickens, Wallington, Dr. Pulsman, Dr. Lovelace, Hickenbue, Dr. Jackson, Dr. Measley, Dr. Ronald Montgomery, and Dr. C.T. Thornburg. We want to thank you, all these doctors and a Great Mount Baptist Church, a movement in Mississippi here that's listening to us, and also Dr. C.T. Montgomery out of Charlotte, North Carolina, out of C.T. Montgomery's ministry. We're not going to have any questions and answers. It's just going to be Pastor Durden speaking for 1 hour and 45 minutes, close to hours, close to near 2 hours, and there will not be any questions and answers. Once he gets started, once he say amen, send all emails to overtonavy@gmail.com. Without any further interruption, we give you now Chaplain John Durden.
Good evening, everybody. This is Chaplain Brother John. You call me Brother John. I don't need the titles. I'm retired now, so I'm not a chaplain anymore. I'm just a cool old civilian. Like I said, I am Chaplain John. Some of you probably want to know my background a little bit who don't know me. I have three master's degrees, and the first one I got was when I was in college, and I went to get my master's degree in personnel administration. They call it human resources nowadays, but it means personnel. And so I went 2 years at graduate school and got my master's in personnel administration, which now is known as human resources. And then when I got in my 28th year of the 30 years as I was a human resources director, the Lord called me to the ministry, but because I still had 2 years to go in working on my master's in human resources, I went to evening classes, and I went there 3 years. And during the 3 years there, I gained two master's degrees. One was in Christian counseling, another one was in theology. And as a result of the theology degree, I was called into the ministry of being a chaplain. So I was a chaplain at a major hospital here in Atlanta for 20 years, and I was an administrator, personnel administrator for the government for 30 years, 20, 34. That's 50 years I was working. And so I've been retired now like 2 years, and I'm enjoying the 2 years, and I'm doing what I'm doing now is because Brother Emmett has grown his job. It's really being blessed and everything else, and God called him into the ministry even when he just had a 1 year of college. And God hooked us up together, and I liked the guy. I could see he's really real. He's out of the military and everything, and so what I did was put him on my wings, and finally the Lord says, anoint him, you know. And the first thing I said, Lord, why should I anoint somebody who's got 1 year of college? He hadn't finished college. He hadn't been in grad school. He says, don't question me. Who do you think you are? And then he gave me, and thoughts came to mind. I said, did Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John have triple crown bishop titles? Did they have doctor's degrees and everything? No, they were fishermen. They were fishermen. So God said, you tell them. I'm not looking at no degree. I'm looking at their spirit. I'm looking at their heart. I'm looking, do they love me? Are they serving me for real? Are they serving me for play? He says, I am real, and I can see everything they're doing. And if they continue to do it before they die, when they die, they're going straight to hell, because they got to come to me first, because their spirit will be taken out of their body before me, and then I have to say, depart from me. You work of iniquity. I never knew you. I said, wow. I said, Lord, 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 Lord. He says, and so I'm calling men whose heart and spirit seek after me, not who looking for pride and prestige and these kinds of things. I don't want them. Don't need them in my kingdom up here. He says, I don't judge people by what education they got. I judge them by their spirit. Do they love me or not? I died for all of them. But if they want to step on my death, then so be it. I got whipped with a whip for 39 times. I mean, nobody would be able to recognize me. I was so beat up. And I had them big old rusted nails put through my hand, those rusted nails put through my foot. And he said, I could have said, drop dead. And they would have dropped dead. And that soldier who raised his hand to ram that nail in my hand and my feet, I could have said, drop dead. And they would have dropped dead. And guess what? He said, everybody who died, guess what? Only the one who died in me will be raised into the kingdom of God. That's going to be raised to spend eternity in hell. And he said, that is a real place. I said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Brother Emmett, his son, going, I know you're talking all his sermons and everything, and everything is, no. The Lord is telling him what he's saying. See, now I'm learning that today. God's still talking to us. Every time he says, well, God told us, and the first thing to tell you, we have his written word. Yeah, we have his written word. His written word, that's how he speaks to us, too. But he wants to speak to us personally, too. He wants to speak to us personally. He wants to speak to us by the Holy Spirit. The other night, I was teaching the different ways God speaks to us. I'm going to have to teach that again, you know. But you ain't gonna have you can't have none of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, like lay hands on somebody to be sick, reveal to somebody what they're thinking, telling somebody what God planned is for them and everything else. You never know who's pulling your legs, who's cheating on you, who's lying to you. The Holy Spirit will tell us all that. Every day I get about, I don't know, 20, 30, 40 calls from different ministers. Tell me, I don't like you. I say, hey, that ain't you. That's that demon in you, buddy. You don't know me. You always talk about tongue how to speak. Tongue how to speak, boy. You know, that kind of stuff. And then I say, no, they go to hell. That's the spirit they got, you know. I say, sir, that's not only the flesh in you, but that's a demonic spirit in you. You know what? You calling the Bible a lie. If you look at 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, it'll tell you that tongues has ceased, as will. It didn't say has. I said, don't you know your tenses? Has is past. It didn't say, look at the King James Version, you got the New King James Version, it said, tongues will. And I called my professor at the college and said, what does will, he said, God, John, that's elemental, will mean present tense. He said, if you look at verse 9, and then say, when that which is perfect come. According to the Bible, who's perfect, John? I said, Jesus. All right, then look at it. He said, when that which is perfect come, then that's when it will cease. Because we won't need tongues, and because we have God in our presence that talks to us from man to man, from spirit to spirit. But right now, he needs the Holy Spirit. And when we speak in tongues, it's not us. That's the Holy Spirit saying to the congregation what he wants to say. If I get people, and then God will give somebody interpretation. And they always give two people so nobody can say he lied. When somebody speaks in tongues, if the speaker, God haven't blessed him yet how to interpret, I'm telling you, he will give two people in that church, in that congregation, to understand, who never knew about tongues. And he'll give, I know what he said. And the Holy Spirit have him say what the pastor or the deacon spoke in tongues. I'm sorry I had to get off there for a minute. It just makes me mad. You know, I didn't learn the stuff until I got to 40. And I look what I'm doing now. I am 80 years old, and I'm now learning about demons, talking about how they affect us and how they cause us to sin, how they deal with our minds, you know, these kinds of things, which I'm going to talk about tonight. It makes me mad. All I heard, we have his written word. That's all I heard from the time I was a baby to the time I was 40. And I asked the Lord finally just had to just stop and say, John, stop. And John spoke to me and told me that's error in teaching. And he said, and don't blame the pastors. What happened is the pastor been taught that. He said, if he was in school and teach you that 5 times 5 is 25, and he comes, and I know he said 5 times 5 is 16, and he'd been teaching that for 30 years. And naturally, if you're a student under him, you think he knows what he's talking about. Well, that's the pastor. That's the teacher. The teacher got a doctorate degree in English, and he got a doctorate degree in math. And if he say 5 times 5 is 2, I'm gonna believe him because he got these doctorate degrees. Well, the reason he believed 5 times 5 is 2 is because that's what he was taught. So don't get mad because I'm telling you what I'm talking to you about now. Don't get mad and cuss your pastor out. So you've been telling me them that. No, he's been taught. He's teaching what he's taught. To read the words and know what's being taught is really valid and true, period. You know what got me in this one? I just got through talking to 3-4 other guys telling me, that tongue has it, and I'm come down there, and I'm a ball jack you because you teach my congregation lies. It ain't no lie. I am hot right now because I'm monitoring you. I'm going to listen to what you say. You better watch out. And then the Lord said, I wrote a book. I wrote a thesis on it. I wrote a manual on it. And guess what? Well, he's saying, guess what? The Holy Spirit talked to me. He said, he's lying. That's, man, you ain't nothing but a liar. And then I tell him who he is, where he is, where he live at. How you know that? I said, bye. Because the Lord would tell me about them, where they live at and what their name. And most of them, when they call him from a hotel, fucking a doggone faggot. Excuse my French, but I'm sick of phony ministers. I'm sick of phony captains. I'm sick of phony deacons. I'm sick of phony so-called Christians. I'm not picking on the ministers. You got your good men. Some of them, I love them to death. You got your good and your bad in every vocation. bad cops, good cops. Bad teachers, good teachers. You got bad ministers, good. You got bad deacons, you got good deacons. You got bad. I'm not, don't get me wrong, Tom. I'm down on all ministers. Hell, some of my best friends are chaplains and ministers at a Methodist Church and Baptist Church. A lot of my best friends, they love the Lord inside out. Get on the denomination, because ain't no one denomination get people saved. God's going to look at every individual in every church. And when we die, we got to go stand before him and give an account what we did. And you stand there lying and looking at Jesus, and Jesus looking at you, and you say, oh, Lord, this man died for me. Oh, my God, what am I going to say? Because I can't lie to him, because he's reading my thoughts right now. Whew, excuse me, folks. See, I just got through. I just had one of those so-called doctors, you know. You better watch what you say. I wrote a thesis on it. As soon as he said that, the Spirit talked to me and said, he's lying. See, you can't lie to me. Because I love the Lord. And another thing, you ain't going to know what I'm talking about. Nah, I'm not even going to talk about demons. All right, tonight we're going to talk about demons. Spiritual warfare. But before I do, I think I better calm down and let me go into prayer. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, first of all, I apologize for showing out all that expression of anger, but it hurts so bad to know that you died for a lot of those folks. Not everybody who's listening, it's in some of the every group. But it just makes me mad when they can turn their back on you and you have to scream and you beg your daddy, your father God, not to let you go through that mess. And every time he rejects you, say, I'm sorry, but nobody gets saved. You go, a sinner can't die for a sinner, and you're righteous, so I'm sending you. And then he says, yes, Father. And he was obedient, and he got the whipping of his dead life. Can you imagine God, the Son of God, let man beat the hell out of him, excuse the expression, but that's what they did. They beat the hell out of him and disfigured his face and everything you can recognize. And then take them big old rusty nails and ram them through his hand and through his feet. You know? Oh, Lordy. It hurts because we get calls every day. I'm monitoring. And you know what they always say before they tell me to kiss their butt? I'm coming down there to ball jack you. I didn't know what ball jack meant till I had to grab a gangster friend of mine. He laughed at, oh, I forgot, John, you're a pastor. You don't know what that means? I said, no, he's going to come in there. He's going to pull your pants down, your drawers down. He's going to ram his penis up your butt. He's going to screw you. I said, what? And he's supposed to be a minister. He's supposed to be. And then get other strange calls from just regular church members. I don't like what you're teaching. I taught all my life that I ain't no tongues. You ain't no real. You know, I said, sir, shut up. I said, catch you later. I'm coming down there to crucify you, nigga. You know, that kind of thing. I got to deal with it because I've finally realized now everybody ain't saved. You even got unsaved people still going to church every Sunday and don't give a flip what the pastor got to say. They just want to be seen. And let me pray. Father God, in the precious name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I come to you again. I ask that you forgive me of all my sins, known and unknown, because I don't want to go to hell. You know, every night before I go to sleep, I always ask you to forgive me for every sin that I may have committed, knowingly or unknowingly, because I sure don't want you to look you in your face when that angel take me out of my bedroom and take me up, escort me up in the presence of Jesus, and he said, depart from me, you work of iniquity. I don't want to hear no crap like that. I ain't planning to spend my mom and grandmama and raise no food. You know, if he want to go to hell, Satan want to go to hell, and his demons that follow him out of heaven, let him go. I ain't going nowhere but in the presence of the Lord, period. Father God, I pray that you would anoint me with revelation knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And I pray that the Holy Spirit of truth, will empower me to teach your word with clarity, simplicity, and boldness. And Father God, may our minds be alert and clear, and our hearts become receptive. And I pray that the Spirit of truth, which is the Holy Spirit, and your son Jesus said the Holy Spirit is our counselor. So I thank you for the Holy Spirit, which is my counselor. And I pray that the power of God would move on every stronghold of unbelief, stronghold of discord, I don't believe that, and every stronghold and vain thoughts. When I say vain thoughts, they're thinking with their mind, telling them, with their fleshly mind. It's not what the Spirit of God is saying or what the Bible is saying. It's what they think and what they believe and what they don't believe. And I pray that these spirits will be pulled down and brought into captivity so that your children, the listeners, will know the truth. And I ask this in the name of your precious son, Christ Jesus, my Lord and my Savior and my Redeemer. I pray in his name and his name only. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, I'm going to give you a little quick, let me see what else I want to do for that. Okay, what I want to say is, I think I better do some scriptures. Let me do some scriptures, okay? No, I want me to do some scriptures. Let me do this because 1 Corinthians. All right, if you give me a shortcut, I got one scripture that can tell that, and that one scripture tell me everything that I want to say in all those other Christians. 1 Corinthians. Let me go to 1 Corinthians. Okay. Okay, here we go. Chapter 13. Let me go to chapter 12 and 13. Okay, here we go. The Lord says, and this is how he speaks to us and how he ministers us. He says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. He goes on to say, this is the Holy Spirit speaking. If the one is given the word of wisdom, that's to tell us how to deal with life, how to deal with those demons and everything else. The one, the word of wisdom. One, the spirit of faith. The word of knowledge, so we know what we're dealing with. The Holy Spirit would tell us about certain things. He gives some the gift of faith. He gives some the gift of miracles. He gives some the gift of prophecy. And all these gifts he gives us, so we'd be able to defend ourselves against the devil. Against the devil. Now I want to go to Ephesians. Yeah, let me go up here to Ephesians and let you know what we're dealing with. Ephesians chapter 6. All right, Ephesians chapter 6, and it says this. And it's talking about the arm of God. That's the title, because we can't fight demons with a BB gun, with a curse word, with a switch, with a pistol, a gun, because they are spiritual beings. We are a combination of being a spiritual being and a human being. See, we're human, but our spiritual self is inside us. And then when we die, and they had me cast me, talking about, oh, he's gone to a better place. And that person right there at that moment standing in the presence of Jesus. And Jesus is going to say one or two things. Depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you. He's going to say, welcome, my child. Come here and let daddy Jesus hug you and hold you. Welcome to the kingdom I prepared for you, even before the foundation of the world. So he's going to say one or twice. Remember, we can't play. And don't take. Everybody going to die when they're 80 and 90 and 100 and all that stuff, because I know friends of mine who died leaving church on Sunday morning. I have some that died going to the thing like that. You never know when you die. So I'm in the bed sleeping. The word of God says finally, talk about the arm of God. He's not talking about water guns, you know, and just humming and singing. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full arm of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Okay? And he goes on to say, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Now, if you were reading another version, you know, New International Version, something like that, New Living Bible, it would say, for our struggle is not against human beings. But it says, it's not against flesh and blood. That's another way of saying they ain't human, folks. The evil demonic spirits that got kicked out of heaven along with Satan. So for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness. And then it goes on to say, and therefore take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet, or prepared your feet, with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And as we're going around ministering and preaching the word of God, and teaching the word of God, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith. And that's when that devil will be coming at you with his stress and his lies and everything. You get that shield to block it off. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows that he throws at you. And you take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The word of God. With all prayer and petition. Pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on alert with all perseverance, petition for all saints. Now, when you say pray in the Spirit, I thought it was just meant to say get down and pray. But it also means you're a spiritual being. You can let the Holy Spirit speak to your spirit. Like sometimes when I go to bed, And I'd be praying, you know, family and them. I said, well, you know what their problem is, Father. So, you know what? I said, may I talk to the Holy Spirit for a second? And, you know, I'm going through protocol. And I said, Lord Jesus, I'm going to talk to you. You said the Holy Spirit is my counselor. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit because he's the one that gives us all gifts. He gives some people the gift of teaching. He gives some people the gift of pastoring. He gives some people to play the piano. Some people the gift of knowledge. Some people the gift of wisdom and so forth. I says, so I'm just asking that you would just bless me and pray for me. And I ask that you give me tongues. I said, now I believe. I said, for 40 years, I never believed it. But now Jesus told me it's true. Jesus told me it was an error. The guys wasn't lying because they were teaching what they thought was the truth because that's what they were taught. So don't call them and say they're teaching wrong doctrine and everything. Yeah, it's wrong, but they're not doing it intentionally, you know, because if your teacher taught you 5 times 5 is 25, that's what you're going to go and tell anybody, just somebody to show you the difference, you know. So with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. This is verse 18, okay? This is chapter 6, verse 18. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. In the Spirit. It doesn't say pray all times. It says pray all times in the Spirit. That means speak in tongues, those who have it. But those who don't have it, you just keep on praying like you always prayed before you had it. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance. And when you pray in your boy, it's powerful because guess what? When you pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit taking, stepping in and going to pray for you because the Holy Spirit know what you need. Holy Spirit know who you got a desire to pray for. The Holy Spirit know the person who you're praying for. The Holy Spirit know what sickness you may have. The Holy Spirit may know what sin you have, and he would change it and have you to follow him. And then he knows exactly everybody in this whole world. So he said, pray for my mama, pray for my grandmama. Lord, please hear my mama. Please hear my grandmama. And say, but that's all I can say, and I know there's some other things you can say about this. So, Lord, Holy Spirit, would you do me a favor, please? I said, would you intercede for me? I appreciate it because you know exactly what grandmama going through and what mama going through, what daddy going through, what my child going to in the hospital, 13 years old or 8 years old. You know what's ailing my child, my grandchild. So I'm going to let you pray for me. Thank you. In Jesus' name, didn't you say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I give the Holy Spirit to pray for me. And then I say, thank you, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. And then I go to sleep. Okay, so that was the scripture. I'm through with the scripture. Now I'm going to tell you what I'm going to talk about these demons. First of all, there's all different kinds. All kinds, different kinds. And before I get in that, you got Jesus. You got two kingdoms. You got the kingdom of God and you got the kingdom of Satan. Now, the kingdom of God consists of him, his son Jesus, and Holy Spirit, and those angels, and believers, okay? And so I just did a little spill on that, and I just looked at over everything else because I'm going to compare both kingdoms with you. And when I look at the first one, the kingdom of God, I came up with these notes. I said, he's the creator of all things. All things are created through him and for him. And he's before all things, and in him things are considered. In other words, he is the creator of all things. Then the second thing I came up with, he's the Son of God. We all know that. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit. He is not only the Son of God, but he also is God the Son. Jesus is not only the Son of God, but he is also God the Son. Let all the angels and God worship him. So here's another thing. Jesus is God in human form. That's another thing about Jesus. And that guy, Jesus is the captain of the army, the military army up in heaven. Jesus is God in human form. God was manifested in the flesh through Jesus. He was justified in the Spirit, and he was seen by angels, and he was preached by all the believers. Boom. Now, to deal with demons, and I need to skip over that and then come back to that. I have some notes that says there's guidelines for dealing with demons. You need to know that. Because I was going to go, this kind of demon, and I'll tell you what the different kinds of demons are and what are they called and what do they do and what are their function. But I need to tell you there's guidelines for dealing with demons. Number one, because we've seen a lot of ministers who got hang up in the ceiling. You know, they come in there with the robes on a big old staff going all the way up to the wall, and all, boom, 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 boom. I am Dr. Stone, Stone, hum, bum, bum. And coming, and I go, oh, God. And then he said, is that their name? And then, are they watching the show? Are they watching it? You know, kind of a thing. And then I go, yeah, we watching this. And I'm watching me. I am Dr. Stone, Stone, Stone. I got 3 doctor's degrees. I'm not saying that. Ain't nothing wrong getting a doctor. You don't get me wrong. I just got to tell you the whole story. Ain't nothing wrong. You got good doctors and you got bad doctors. Now, remember I said that. I'm not talking about every pastor, every doctor. I said you got the good and evil in every one of them. So don't get a, I don't know, whatever you call it. Tell me, what do you do? Think he talk? What do you do? He do? But no, I'm not doing it. I'm just talking about this. Remember what I said. There's the good and the bad in every situation, from the pastor on down to the janitor. Okay, and I'm talking about regular congregation members and we deacons and mothers of the church. I've seen mothers of the church raise more hell than the deacons and the devil himself. Guidelines for dealing with it. Don't you walk in there telling, I'm going to show y'all, come out, you demon. This kind of a thing. No, you don't do that. See, the Bible said the guidelines that God gave on us is the guidelines for dealing with demons. And I wrote that thing down because I said, ain't no demon going to beat the daylights out of me, because we've seen a lot of them going there because they have us to minister and call their church, you know, go show us we can cast out demons. And the demon come out. And the demon said, you say one more word to me, your behind will be mine. But you don't know who I am. I am Dr. Song-Song. I went to University of California and all this. And demon said, I don't give a flip about that. But you're not a godly man. And so I got a right to tear you apart. I said, come out. I warned you. And then, boom, the demon used the woman that he's possessed, you know, and beat the daylights out of the pastor, throw him up in the air. And then you have the mother of the pastor telling me, you let my son down. I mean, it's on laptop, folks, on your computer. We see it. And a lot of the congregation see. That's why I'm teaching that. I had one of them say, hey, we know demons are real. We seen what happened to that pastor who got thrown up there. He tried to cast that demon out, and that demon told him to go to hell. And he kept on talking, you don't know me. And I tried to strip all his clothes off. And before he knows, he was up in the air, up in the ceiling, butt naked, calling, screaming, hollering, something, get me down. And then his mom told him, you let my son down, you demon. And then in a few seconds, wham, the demon has stripped all her clothes off, and she's hanging up in the ceiling. And that's how come I'm teaching that, because I'm saying, I've seen it. It's real. I ain't going to believe that lie no more, talking about all demons in hell kind of a thing. So that's just a part of a little thing I can talk about. Now, one, so you got to do this before you talk about come out demon. This is the guidelines for dealing with demons. Number one, it says pray for discernment. When I say pray for discernment, that's the Holy Spirit say, okay, I'm going to tell you about this demon. Because sometimes you go, what's your name? And demon don't say nothing. Someone don't even say nothing. I say, well, I said, and what is your name? Tell me what's your name in Jesus' name. I'm saying, and then sometimes they go, I'm not, figure it out. That's what they like to say, figure it out. I mean, speaking to the woman or the man, figure it out. So no, I'm not figuring it out. I just go to the Lord. And then you ask the Lord, and the Holy Spirit say, and tell us what the demon's name is. And then we tell the demon, say, your name is so-and-so. Who told you that? You know, talking to that person. It's real, folks. Here I am, 80. I wish I had known all this when I was in my 20s and 30s. All I heard from the time I was 20 to the time I was 40 is we have this written word. That's all I heard, all them stinking years. Number one, pray for discernment. And when I say discernment, that's God giving you the thought and telling you about that demon, all about it, and how that demon, what you need to do and what you need not to do. And it will give you guidance. The next thing you need to do is when you talk to this person, before you cast the demon out, you got to figure out what that person's problem is. You got to recognize the symptom. Is it mental? Is it physical? You know? Is it health reason? It's 4 different kinds. See, so you may say, before you cast in, you got to figure out if you really have a demon. The person might be sick in the mind. But then there's some mental demons too. So you don't just say, come out demon. You have to review and interrogate the person, find out exactly what the problem is. All right, so recognize the symptoms. That's find out if that person really have a demon or not. You might just be crazy, you know what. And be slow to make judgment. I just got through kind of hitting on that. Be sure to say, oh, this is a crazy person. Also, the person may have some mental sickness, okay? Do not deal with the situation alone. In other words, if you decide you want to cast it, you're the minister, you're the deacon, you're one of the head, one of the assistants to the pastor, and you decide y'all want to help this lady to cast this demon out, this man to cast this demon out, well, don't do it by yourself, sir. That's all I got to say. Do not deal with a situation like that alone, because that demon will tear you apart. See, y'all each other back up kind of thing. When I first started, when I used to go with Brother Emmett, I didn't know about how to cast out no demon or anything, but I tell you, when my mind was blown, because I saw demons and people where they hanging up, walking up the wall, and walking across the ceiling upside down and going down the other side. I seen that in my own eyes. I went in the house with Brother Emmett where a young man sitting at the foot of his bed in his room, and his mom said, I can't do nothing with that boy. And we go in the room, and you think you just step in the refrigerator because it's cold. And you see that. And then when I say, son, what's your name? And then the demon speaks through him, you know. And then that demon manifests, and you can hear that demon growl, and you can hear that horrible, sinful voice speaking back at you. So keep, he say, so you need to do not deal with that situation alone. Then you must recognize tactics. You got to know what you should do, what not to do. But you get that from the Holy Spirit. You say, I think I'm going to do this. I think I ought to say that. Yeah. And you defeat it right then because that's your mind trying to fight an intelligent spiritual being, a demon. He'd been around before mankind came into being. He was able to monitor us all those years. He'd know more about us. In the Bible say demons are smarter than mankind. And when Jesus took on human flesh, the demons were smarter than Jesus. You know, Jesus knew a lot of things, but they were heavyweights because Jesus had the mind of Christ. That's everything that Jesus did, he did it by the leading of the Holy Spirit. You know, in my late years, I found out when I read the gospel and all that, boy, Jesus was heavy. He knew that stuff. Then I came up to Jesus and he said, look at the scripture. The Holy Spirit said, look at that scripture. And everything you see, some say, I only did what my father told me to do. I only said what my father said to me. And I go, and I said, I'll be doggone. I thought it was Jesus all those years. Man, and he's telling you what's happening. He says, I do what I only see what my father do. I say what I hear my father say. And I said, I'll be doggone. All them years. I said, because he was Jesus. I think everything came out was because he was the Son of God. But he had on human flesh. He gave up a lot of that stuff. God was telling him what to say. God. Through the Holy Spirit. I say this, and we go to those evil kings and all that other kind of stuff, and before you open his mouth, he would say what the Lord told him. So even when the devil tempted him, he was saying what the Lord was saying. The Lord was speaking to him through the word because Jesus is the word. So when Jesus was speaking back at the devil, he was speaking the word because he is the word, but he's the word in flesh. So he was able to say back the word. So recognize the tactics. Do not be afraid. Don't show any fear. Then they jump you in. So we got this sucker. Keep what you discover confidential. So if somebody said, I'm a homosexual, and I don't want to be that no more. And said, you got a homosexual demon, honey. That's why you can't stop and everything like that. But because that person confessed to you, you were supposed to go, child, let me tell you what I learned about sister. Let me tell you what I heard about Mr. So-and-so. He told me he was a sissy and so-and-so. No, don't do that. You violated, and the Holy Spirit get you for that. When you have a person, a counselor to come into you for counseling, and he tell you some secret stuff because he really don't want to do that. But the Lord leads him to do that, so that's the only way he can get delivered. But because the guy revealing every sinful thing he done, don't you take your butt out of this child. Did you know this about Deacon so-and-so? Did you know this about the janitor? Yeah, he's a queer. Yeah, I didn't know that. That kind of thing. All right, next thing. Continue to minister to the individual after the demon left. Sometimes when you cast it, tell a demon to come out, bound the demon to get tired of it, and leave. And you know when to leave for the person know they've been delivered. But you got to tell that person, don't you go back into that. Because the Bible says, the word of God says, you'll be seven times as bad as you are now. Or you were. And that's no lie. Even the word of God said that. And then another thing. Say, do not be discouraged by an apparent failure. Sometimes you try the first time, nothing happens. I try the second time, and God might be just testing you out. And there are some things you need to check with the Holy Spirit. Say, I forgot. I didn't ask the Holy Spirit what I should say on this case. I didn't ask him what should I do or nothing. You see, you acting, I think I'm going to do this. I know what I'm going to say to this demon. I'm going to say this. Let me see. I got a scripture for him. No, you don't do that. You're losing right then and there. That's like you in a boxing ring with no gloves on, and the guy got on the gloves plus a stick. To beat the daylights out of you. And the next one, do not be distracted by extreme fatigue. Sometimes them demons are hard. What's your name? Figure it out. What you doing to this person? Figure it out. That's how they respond back to you. That demon be speaking to that man's vocal cords. And it might be a woman. Say, what are you doing, demon? Are you talking to a woman? And the woman be talking, you figure it out. Demon. Because no evil spirits, no angels are none are feminine. They're all male. There's no female angels. So do not be distracted by extreme fatigue while dealing with, man, I'm tired. I don't know if I'm going to keep this up, man. I've been doing this, trying to tell this demon to come out this lady, this man, or this child for the longest. Let me see, dog, I've been doing this for a whole hour. You be talking to yourself and didn't just laughing at you. Don't, just keep on. You know, because when my daughter and all get into it, be helping Brother Emmett, sometimes they may be there for 4, 5, 6, 7 hours. Okay? Be ready to stay. Yeah, see, I beat myself there. Be ready to stay for an extended period of time. I just go talking about that. And then it said, be on guard yourself for 7 days because he try to come back and attack you, kind of thing. And watch out for distractions. Keep in mind that demons are afraid of Christians who walk with Jesus. Because I've seen when I was learning, and I could see one pastor get up and say, come out in the name of Jesus. And a demon catch you up. It might be successful maybe after an hour later because the demon got tired. But there's others that walk in there. Like my daughter, for an example, God called into the ministry of deliverance, and he taught her personally. And whenever time she go with Brother Emmett, you know, by myself, we go in there to do an exercise, and as soon as she walk in, though, there's gun gangs. So that's the name Brother Emmett gave my daughter. And then demons know her. I said, you know, that's gun gangster. If you got to get out of here, that's gun gangster. That's what they call my daughter. The demons know her. They're afraid of her. And sometimes someone said, come out of that man, you demon, so on and so on. Demon don't say nothing. I said, come out. And what's your name? Demon don't say nothing. And then my daughter said, well, say, you demon, your name is so and so and so on. You got to come out now. Okay, gun gangster. That's how they respond to my daughter because she's been sold out for the last 14 years. And she's in the ministry because God called her to that ministry. He didn't call her to be an evangelist. He called her to be a deliverance minister. And that's what she's been doing for the last 13, 14 years. And all these demons know her. Okay. We know about angels. I don't have to go in that now. Angels, yeah. But I'll give a little quick thing. I started with them 7:30, 8:30 to 9. Okay, I'm supposed to be through at 9. Okay. Angels execute God's will. This is what they do. I'm talking about holy angels. Their nature is superior to human beings. They have superhuman power and knowledge. And you know, these angels are going to come back with Jesus and split us in half. The righteous on the right-hand side, that's Revelation, y'all. And the so-called deceivers, like they're Christians and real crooks and all that stuff. And people got 1 foot in heaven and 1 foot in the nightclub or 1 foot in heaven. The other foot in the bed of committing fornication, of adultery, or whatever, you know. And an angel going to split them up. And then he said, come. And when he started sending in all the believers, man, bodies would be changed, zip, just like that. And he all started arising. Everybody looking, where in the world are they going? Hey, what's happening? What's happening? You see, those who don't see it, they wake up in the morning and go into the room to wake up their child and find the child gone. He or she wake up in the morning and find their spouse. The pajamas still under the cover. The cover still covered over the pajamas. But that person went right through it because they're a spiritual being now. Jesus said, come. And that's for the, that's before he come back, eternal to come back to take us back from. But that's for the rapture. That's for the rapture. He can be gone for 7 years. And he can come down and take all the saints who are saved and go up. And he can be up there for 7 years with us, all those who really believe in him, you see. And then those who never believe. Like, say, her husband didn't believe, wife believed. When she wake up the next morning, she could find herself in bed, telling her, honey, wake up. And she would look, and she pulled the cover back and see his pajamas and everything in the same situation, kind of a thing. Or vice versa. The husband wake up. Baby, wake up. I'm ready to eat, baby. And, honey, get up. Can't you hear me? Pull the cover back, and the pajamas still in the same position that she sleeps in, with leg crossed or on her stomach or whatever. And she's gone through the ceiling and everything else. And that's true. And then they'd be gone. And then the Satan and devil is almost the god of this world. That's what the Bible says. And everybody says, my husband gone. My wife gone. My teenage kids who really love going to church. They always talking about the Lord. They gone. Where they go? And then there was someone got, oh, the devil took them out of way because they were lying. No such thing. God, no such thing as Jesus. God just move all those things. I thought so. That's what I believe all my life. Not knowing that the ones who were raptured up were the true followers of God. True followers of God. All right. So angels, they talk and eat. They take charge in the affairs of people. They are not to be worshipped. They will not be. They will be judged by the saints. They come in large companies. Boy, they're billions even. You can't account them. The Bible says some are good, some are bad. When they say some are bad, they're speaking about the demonic spirits who follow Satan. And then you got different kinds. Some are called seraphims. Some called cherubims, and some called archangels, and they all got different types of responsibilities and duties. Okay? All right. Now, the next thing I want to share with you is, no, that's about Satan. All right. Here's some more about demons. First of all, when God took care of them demons, some of the demons went straight to hell forever when he kicked them out because they were really sinful. I mean, they were the baddest of the baddest. But there are other demons. A third of the angels fell, was kicked out of heaven, went in heaven. And for those who don't know it, Satan is considered the God of this world. He's sort of like the President Trump of this world. He is. God is not the present world, but God got his saints in him. And when you say, let's join the kingdom of God, when you join the kingdom of God, it has two understandings. One is that's when we die and we're going to be with him forever. That's when we up in heaven in the kingdom of God with him. But when it says, are you in the kingdom of God? What do you mean? I'm here on earth. What they mean is because you follow God and you're a real child of God and a worship of God, that means you already in his kingdom. And so when I said, child, you in the kingdom of God. You and the king, and what it means is I recognize you as a true soldier and believer in the Lord. So they're called, there's another name for them. They're in the kingdom of God. Fleshly, they're in on earth. But spiritually, they're already in the kingdom of God. Okay. So dig this. Attributes of demons. Tell you about these demons. All of them are spiritual beings. Okay. Because they were created that way. Okay. And then they all can speak. And they can speak different dialects. Those angels, those demons. Demons are fallen angels who turn their back on Jesus. They follow Satan. Okay. So they can speak all the languages. I'm talking about those demons. Because that's how they tempt the Africans, Spanish, the Jews, who else? Every nation in this world. They can speak all those different languages, German and Russians and Puerto Ricans and Italians and all that other kind of stuff. They can speak all those languages. Now, listen to this. Before being cast out of heaven, guess what? The demons had the same attributes as the good angel. I mean, they love and praise the Lord and everything, and here comes Satan. Hey, man, I'm going to take over. I want to be God. Well, he can be God, he wanted, but I'm going to make my heavens above his. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to be this. And all of you who follow me, I'm going to let y'all be kings and princes on in these kingdoms that are going to be mine someday. You didn't know that God can hear his thoughts. God hear all our thoughts. Sometimes we might be laying in bed or driving the car. God can read our thoughts. You know, you can hide. You know, like, you might hate somebody sitting in the car with you. I hate this sucker, but, you know, I got to put up with him because that's my nephew or that's my neighbor, and we work in the same area. But I hate this guy because he ain't number old whoremonger, number the alcoholic, you know, and God can read your thoughts. And you might be saying something about your mama or your daddy and some low life and everything. Some perverted thoughts come across your mind. The Lord can read your thoughts too. You don't have to hear. He hear your thoughts. He's the one that created that man. Let me tell you something else. All right, I say they are spirits. They can speak. They believe. They exercise the will. They can demonstrate intelligence. And angels, like I say, those angels have been around ever since before the beginning of the world. So they're smart. They've been watching, observing human beings all their lives. I can imagine when they created Adam and Eve, they would say, "Where is that? What do them think they're walking over there? Look at this. They're not invisible like us, you know." And they can't say those are what you call human beings, stupid. Oh, that kind of thing. So they are spirits. They can speak. They believe. They believe in Jesus. Because every time somebody says Jesus, the Bible says those that good angel and the bad angel tremble. They tremble. All right. They can exercise their wills. So a lot of things they can do on their own without getting old. I'm talking about demon angels. Okay, demons who were angels one time. They exercise their own will. They can say, I'm going to make that person a whoremonger. I'm going to make this person an alcoholic. I'm going to make this person a liar. I'm going to make this person, this, you know, and all that kind of thing. And you get, I'm going to make this person be a cigarette smoker. And so I let them smoke so much they get cancer the lungs. And then they don't know Jesus. And then when they die, that cancer lungs. And then the moment they die, then we can just say, welcome. And when your spirit leaves your body, you got to go stand before Jesus. Jesus said, depart from me. You work over there. I never knew you. And the angel be doing, oh, you got another one. Yeah, I know. Because that's how they get their little praise from Satan to, by causing people to turn their back on Jesus. Okay, so they can they demonstrate intelligence. I said that they're really smart. They're smarter than mankind. It's in the Bible. Is if you want to find that out, well, you got to look in the book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 24. They demonstrate intelligence. Everything I'm telling you, scripture's right next to it. I could say it, but I'm just trying to cut it short because one thing I hate when time runs out when I'm just halfway through. So I can say they are spirits. You find that in Luke 10:17. They can speak. You find that in Matthew 8:3. They believe who Jesus is. That's in James 2:19. They exercise their wills. That's in Luke 8:32. They can demonstrate their intelligence. That's Mark 1:24. They have emotions. You know, they just get scared. In the name of Jesus, they get scared. That's in Luke 8:28. They recognize Jesus. That's in Mark 1:23 and 1:24. They have supernatural strength. You find it in Acts 19, and you find it in Mark chapter 5. They have supernatural presence. That's Daniel. They are eternal. That's Matthew 25, verse 41. That means they don't die. And when we die from this flesh and we go stand before Jesus, we never die again. We be spiritual beings. No more sickness. Don't even have to go to the bathroom. Yeah, so I throw that in. So spiritual beings. Don't have to go to the bathroom. Don't need no bowel movement, none of that stuff. Have their own doctrine. Them demons going to believe what they want to believe, you know. They are evil, 100% evil. And they can tempt. So I don't know why I keep on doing it. I try to stop. I prayed a couple of times. Well, that's because you need an exorcism because you mess with it so long that you got possessed. You not only have the habit now, but you got the demon that's promoting the habit in you. So you need to go get some deliverance. Come. So the pastor said, come out, you demon, in the name of Jesus. But you can't get deliverance if you happen to have one who don't believe in demons, you know. So you have to go to one who is a deliverance minister who knows it too. Okay? All right, here's another one. They can tempt, and then sometimes you be watching TV or watching somebody walk by, or you may have some thoughts, and those are temptations. Tell me, don't you like what you see? You know, that kind of thing. Don't you want to be just like her? Don't you want to be just like him to be a movie star? And you start desiring all these worldly appraisal things. That's what I want. I don't be like him. And I want to make a lot of money, start stealing, gambling, doing all kinds of stuff. Those thoughts coming from Satan. And they can, demons, they can deceive. In other words, it ain't no Jesus, not no God. It ain't no son of God. And I said, why you say that? Where in the Bible did it say God the Father got married? Please tell me. Where in the Bible where it says got married? He had a little him and his wife had a little baby Jesus. I said, you know, you're gonna get your throat cut by the Lord Himself. You know, people know that is the worst in the beginning. Well, that's what bugged me. In the beginning was well, I said, well, if you want to know his business, he'd tell you. But the Bible said he wasn't always. Well, I find it hard to believe. I said, well, it's tough. But all you got to do is look at the whole world. The Bible says we can know there's a God by looking at the world. You got the moon, the sun, all the different planets, and all the stars, and the different heavens, first, second, third heaven, everything else. You look at human beings. Human beings didn't come from no monkeys. That's a bunch of crap, you know. And all you got to do is look at nature. Look at the sun, the moon, the stars. That didn't just happen. Everything have a beginning. How God, that's his business. I ain't going to hell because I'm going to challenge that. So I don't believe because... Because ain't nothing say God had a wife. I said, well, you can unbelieve your butt right on the hell. Some things you have to accept by faith. So those are some of the things that demons do. They can speak. They believe. They exercise their wills. They have emotions. They recognize who Jesus is. They have supernatural strength. They are eternal. They're spirit beings, never die. Because when we die and leave this body, and then we're going to be living forever in one or two places, that's heaven or hell. And look out for people who say, well, he's dead. Yeah, look over there. He's gone to a better place. Boy, I've seen people I know, rape people, but the family's so messed up. And when the person found out the person died, Junior gone to a better place. And Joe just got being electrocuted for raping a child or killing a child. Someday. Gone to a better place. The only way he can go to a better place is before he walked down that long aisle to go to that place where they can stick that needle in it, is he has to be truly repentant. When he see that they're going to walk him to the gas station or whatever the next morning, he better get on his knees and say, Lord, I'm so sorry. But you know what? You can't fool God. All I got to do is say, just tell me sorry. I'm sorry, Lord. Lord said, I ain't not necessarily sorry. This is repent. So don't think because you lay on that bed with cancer and all this stuff, you don't, I'm sorry, Lord. I heard the doctor tell the nurse that I'm gonna die within the next 1 or 2 days. So I want you to know I'm sorry. God said nothing. The Bible said sorry. The Bible said repent. Now you can repent right there in that bed, you know, with all your heart, soul, and spirit for God and know you for real. You can't pray God say, oh, Lord, I'm about to die. I say, I better get my x-ray because I know my mom used to tell me, say, Lord, I'm sorry. Okay, can I come to heaven now? No, say, I didn't tell you to be sorry. You can find that in the Bible. It says repent. But now you can have a evil person lay in the bed and truly realize what his mama taught him or her when she was a child or when he was a child and laying up in that bed knowing he died of cancer or her dying of cancer, something like that. And then if he said, oh, Lord, this stuff is real, real. I ain't taking no chances. No. Jesus is real. My mama ain't been teaching me no lie. And even though mama didn't believe him, daddy did. And if daddy did, my best friend Sonia or Henry believed in it. And he really talked and walked the talk in the Bible. So he said, Lord, I'm sorry. I forgive my ignorance. I'm really sorry. And the Lord would know. Because there are other men that we talk to, talking about kiss my butt and so on. And then God would tell me what to say to him. I said, you foul fool. So on. You've been doing this and doing. I only did it one time. That's what they all said to me. I only did it one time. I said, one time. You're not talking to a fool. I said, you did it 110 times. What? How you can keep up with how many times I was doing those homosexuals? How you know that? God told me. And then they hang up. Click. Sometimes they lie so bad, God get tired of it, and God said, tell me you're lying. I said, you lying. I said, you ain't doing that just one time. I think I'm gonna be their buddy. You know, I said, no, you ain't just one time, you just 12 times. How you know that? And I said, not only that, you stole money out the church, a church account to pay $200-$300 money for that queer that you were screwing. And then also you bought rubbers, you bought liquor, you bought some weed, and you took that young man in the hotel there and screwed him 4, 5, 7 times that same night. How do you know that? You know, I said, you better take it up with Jesus. I'm coming down there and I'm going to kill you. You get in my business. I'm going to say, no. I said, I ain't. You messing up my life. How you? I said, no, that faggot got mad because you wasn't paying him. So that faggot told your wife, or that faggot told your husband. And that's how come they outside knowing where you are, because the faggot told him before you got there because you quit paying him that money. Because you're paying him. How do you know how much I paid him? I said, you're paying him $520. Are you paying him $300? I tell him the exact amount because the Lord be telling us, you see. God don't play. He died for us, you know. God said, I didn't die and got all that beating from a man, from a human being to beat me like hell for you to keep on doing this stuff and then you're going to die. Tell me, welcome. I'm not going to say welcome to the kingdom of heaven. You don't say depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you. You can't play with me. That was my. You be looking at the man who died for you. You see, that's what I can't understand. So you're going before the person who can even read your mind. It's like you're talking in a microphone when you're thinking stuff. Your thoughts are not hidden from God. You see, and those demons is having a party, fooling people thinking they can do that. All right, here's some more things about demons. I got the organizations of demons. I dig the dog. I still got 30 minutes. Hey, praise the Lord. All right. The organization of demons, principalities. I'm going to tell you what they do. They call powers. They call rulers of the darkness. They call spiritual hosts of wickedness. They call dominions and so forth. Demons serve different functions. What do they do, Brother John? What do they do? Well, I give it to you. Number one, demons serve different functions. You got what you call evil spirits. Lord have mercy. Evil spirits. They influence immoral acts. That's what they do. They influence immoral acts. Then you got unclean spirits. What do you say? Unclean spirits. They induce unclean thoughts. Well, you know what unclean thought, everything nasty that you can do? Those are those unclean spirits. I mean, you got some screwing animals like cows and them dudes out there in the country screwing calves and all that stuff. Unclean spirits. Yeah, they get to do all kind of nasty stuff. I don't even go to, but you can let your imagination run away and you find out what unclean spirits are. They have unclean thoughts. And then you have spirits of infirmity. I don't know why I'm always sick. I don't know what I'm doing, man. I can't, my phone. Mama, how come I'm always sick? I got two sisters and brothers. Ain't none up in the hospital, and I'm always in the hospital. What's my problem? Well, that person, because that person may be doing something mom and daddy don't know about, that they got a little secret, a little sin somewhere, you know. Like, well, I found a case where that's the one of them got changed by some of their friends. They've been worshiping the devil. She became a devil worshiper. So I don't believe that Jesus, conned the young lady. And she, when she said she's going to see her friend, they go downstairs from the house and they have this symbol of Satan and stuff like that, and they be worshiping, praising the devil and this kind of stuff, see? Because figures don't come without a cause. Either you eat the wrong thing, drinking the wrong thing, or you turn your back on Jesus. And as the demon say, now while she's sinning, I'm going to kill her butt so she'd go to hell. Because when she died of alcoholic problem, a liver problem, cancer, you know, and then she got the they can go to the funeral. She gone to a better place. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And while they're saying that, the angel then escorted her out of that body right in the presence of Jesus. And Jesus says, I died for you, honey. I died for you. I'm sorry, Lord. I said, I'm sorry too. There's no salvation on this side. You had your whole lifetime to be saved. You don't get saved after you die. That's like talking to a dog. Say, come back. I didn't mean for you to run across the street by yourself, dog. You know, Jesus said, I'm sorry. No, you can't do that to me. I didn't do it. You did it to yourself, and you listened to the devil. And you might have parents who didn't believe in the Lord. And so you pick up their unbelief. Your best friend that I gave you was a righteous girl, a buddy, and tried to tell you, and all you did was just mark him and laugh behind his back. That was me trying to get you saved through your best friend. But you put your best friend down because they were just too holy-roly for you. Because to be like him, you won't have no fun. You won't have no fun. So depart from me, you work of iniquity. I didn't die for you to play with my death. The angel mocking everything you're doing. Honey, I can, if I want to, I can get a big screen and everybody in heaven look at that big ass screen and see everything you've done. They all will see it. So the Lord said, depart from me. I never knew you. She goes screaming and say, I got you now, fool. And ain't no party down there. Tell me you have a party down all the time. Ain't number hot, blaming flames. So, and you don't burn up because you're a spiritual being. You just tortured for all eternity, screaming and hollering. And you're hollering and screaming, Jesus is falling on deaf ears. All right. So you got evil spirits, unclean spirits, spirits of infirmity. They all cause you to get sick and you don't get why. And sometimes a person keeps sick all the time because, and it's just the Bible, folks, that I'm about to tell you. So what did he just say? Sometimes when I read this, man, you know, when I first got married, boy, I made sure, when I first got saved, man, I made sure I walked the walk because, man, I saw several scriptures say, if you disobey God, you turn your back on God, you're doing all things of praying holy, holy on Sunday, he said, you can curse your generation, 4 or 5 generations. I said, what? And that means your child or your children will be cursed for 4 to 10 generations. They always sick. They can't get a job when they get out of school, finish school. They always getting in trouble with the law. They always getting sick. You know why? And I can't understand why my child gets sick all the time. I can't understand why my child can't keep a job. And then next thing I know, she's back home or she's back home because she got kicked out of the apartment. That's because she has a curse on him or her mama, daddy. Because the Bible, it says, the Word of God says, if you turn your back on me and you don't bring your child up in the Lord and you go around there hanging hide from your child and you're doing things you know against the Lord, he says your children will be cursed 4 to 10 generations. And I heard a lot of folks coming out and I can't understand, my son, he can't keep a job. He's not been married twice. And I say, you don't work. I'm tired of supporting you, kind of a thing. The child's always sick. And you look at, and the child look at, her fellow siblings and everything else and say, well, how come she ain't never sick? How come he ain't never sick? And how come you always in an automobile accident? And then and how come I had 3-4 miscarriages? I don't understand it. That's because mama and daddy, well, for one thing, another, mama and daddy is a hypocrite. And the other one is the child been doing something he had no business doing, being crazy. It could be smoking drugs, alcohol, everything else. So it could be for 2 reasons, because of her, the child herself, or it could be because what mama and daddy been doing all them years, not bringing the child up in the way of the Lord. Let him do what he want to do. I'm not going to drill nothing in my child's mind. I'll let him make up his own mind when he's grown. I don't want to make him believe something that he don't understand right now. I'll just let him make his decision. When he get grown, it'll be too late then, because he'd be heavy and sinning and everything else. He'd be around most of all the people who don't believe in God and tell me, party, party. And that's all that y'all know. And then you tell me, come read the Bible. Where you come from? And that's where they'll talk to you, see? And say, Lord, I done screwed up. My child, I lost my child. The only thing you can do when you say, I lost my child, you have to change yourself and say, Lord, I repent. I didn't know what I'm doing to affect my children, my child, 4 to 10 generations. I didn't know that. The devil goes, that kind of a thing. And then you're in the funeral, and then the pastor got to tell lies. She gone to a better place. And the pastor looking at her and says, Lord, have mercy. I can't amen that because I know the girl. I tried to talk to her myself. She told me to go to hell. Yeah, gone to a better place. I know your head is up and you're going to funeral. Yeah. I just keep my mouth shut. If I don't know the person, I say, go on. I don't say nothing. I don't say, no, it ain't a amen. I don't say a word because I don't know the person. So I'm not going to agree or not agree if somebody died I don't know. See, I'm going to be stupid. Okay. I told you about evil spirits, unclean spirits, spirits of infirmity, deceiving spirits, and teachers. Deceiving spirits, we know what infirmary spirits, they cause sickness on the body. The other one is deceiving spirits. They produce false doctrines, you know, like I don't believe, like the Jews. Well, a lot of them have come over, but there's still a majority of Jews talking about, I don't believe in Jesus. Our Messiah is coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He ain't coming back as a little baby born in a stable, you dumb sucker. They ain't our Messiah. Our Messiah is coming back to take us to heaven and to rule over this earth. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And his daddy was a carpenter. Our Messiah, daddy is God, and everybody know that Jesus was born. Jesus' daddy was the carpenter. So how can y'all say he's God's son when his son right there? I mean, Mary, and she ain't even married when she had him. My God, you think Jesus gonna be born out of an unwed mother, huh? I'm talking to you, John. This kind of stuff. I get those arguments. I'm talking about Jews. Man, they jump on me. Y'all worshiping a false god. First of all, he was born out of wedlock. And his mama was a young chick, fresh between the legs. She was just so young, teenager, just got horny and got pregnant. And that kind of stuff. You be here. Boy, you hear a lot of stuff. There's a lot of people out there that don't believe in the Bible. Okay? All right? So you got deceiving spirits. They give all kind of false doctrines. Like one of them is really like tongues don't exist. Now, don't get mad at your preacher because I said that, because he's been taught what I've been taught. Well, I didn't say I'm 20 or 30 now. I said I'm 80, folks. God finally, I asked God to help me. I said, I don't know what to believe. I can ask one preacher one thing, ask another preacher another thing, and all three of them give me a different interpretation. I said, now what's the problem? And then the Lord said, because they're interpreting from their mind, not from the Holy Spirit. See, either from their mind or from what they've been taught. So if I can get three guys to read one scripture and they'll tell me a different story on each one, that's why I don't ask no more. I ask the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit don't lie. Holy Spirit tell me what your name is, when you was born. Holy Spirit tell me what I'm thinking. You know, the whole nine yards. Sometimes I read a scripture and don't quite understand it. I ain't going to misinterpret it. I say, Holy Spirit, might not be right there. I say, could you tell me what the scripture mean, please? And I just move on, keep on going. And then a day or two or hours later, boom, and then the thought comes. They don't say, hey, John, let me tell you, you asked me a question. They don't come that way. The meaning just come. The meaning just come. All right. Demons launch attacks in various ways and carrying out their plan. Now, these are what demons do. Now, remember, I told you they're all different kinds, like evil spirits, unclean spirits, spirits of infirmity, and deceiving spirits, and teachers of false teachers. You got the next title I got, Satan attacks against Christians. How do they do it? Well, they quote scriptures, and they quoted, they misquoted them. He's in Jesus, about to jump off this high tower, nothing happened, all this kind of stuff. They said it out of text. Jesus said, you can't fool me. You can't misquote the word. I'm the word. Can you imagine that? let me tell you what the word of God says, so and so and so, and you talk to Jesus, and Jesus look at you and say, in that case, I'm the word. I'm the word in flesh. Yeah. So they quote scriptures wrongly. They teach their own doctrine. This is what we believe. You know, you can have fun. God is a good guy. You can go to church, but you still can have sex out of marriage, or sex if you ain't married. You can do this and you can do that, you know, and all that stuff. Ain't nothing wrong with that. We, after all, you know, we human. I remember I used to say that was live when I was 18, 19. I said, hi, y'all. Man, how you can go all the years and be holy, holy, holy? Please, man. And I remember I said, I ain't going to get saved till I'm 90. I said, I ain't going to miss out on no fun. I'm going to party. I'm going to party. But then God finally had to stop it. My salvation story would tickle y'all. Here we go. All right. Quote scriptures. These demons can teach their own doctrines. They can transform themselves into angels of light. They can transform themselves. Praise the Lord, sister. Let me tell you about the word of God. And so, boy, I found an evangelist. That girl knew that Bible inside out, child. But see, that demon is inside that woman that you thought was such holy. And she'd tell you, and she'd quote some scripture that's true, but then she would misquote some of them and take you astray. They encourage evil men to pervert righteousness. Encourage evil men to pervert. Okay. I thought I said prevent. They encourage evil men to pervert righteousness. That's one thing they do. They tempt us with hypocrisy and lying, like our president, ex-president, that guy lied every time he comes in, but I never can tell the truth. Tempt with hypocrisy and lying. And they also tempt with pride. And watch it, folks. Sometimes the devil gets you that way. It may not get you to steal or get you to fornicate or commit adultery or kill somebody or kidnap, you know, and all that stuff, a shoplift. But they can tempt you with, and you got some people got these positions and all that. And look at me, look at me, look at me. I'm not going to say sometimes because some folks might get offended. But look at yourself. Are you boasting because you up a certain grade, because you're a colonel or a general, or because you're the big-time man and all that stuff? Are you worshiping yourself and you want worship from the people and everything else? That's a part of Satan. That's how he got kicked out of heaven, because he wanted to be like God. He wanted power and prestige. See, but you can't do none of that stuff. You can't think none of that stuff because God can. It's like, hello, everybody. I mean, that's how your thoughts come to him. Yeah, I'm this and I'm that and I'm this and I got these degrees and I got that and this kind of thing. And then someone would call me up and tell me, how much degrees you got? I say, I got 3 master's degrees. Well, I'm higher than you. I go, huh? What did you say to me? I'm higher than you. What, you deaf? I've got 3 doctor's degrees. I got a doctor's degree. You just got a master's degree. So I'm higher than you. I said, says who? Says me, the education. I said, man, God don't give a flip. I said, I don't care if you got 600 doctor's degrees. God ain't going to judge you on your doctor's degree. He's going to judge you on your lifestyle. He will look at you and say, let's see. You already going to have it because you already got a record of everything you've done from the time you were born to the time you die. You know? You don't care nothing about no degrees. He's looking for spiritual people to be in his kingdom. He don't want no hypocrite now. Can you imagine somebody walking down around, up and down the street, hey, do you have a college degree? Or you just got a high school degree? I'm higher than you. Can you imagine somebody talking like that in heaven? I got 2 master's degrees. How many you got? I got two. I got one doctor's degree. Well, I got 2. I'm higher than you. That sounds stupid. Stupid. And I hear that all the time. What kind of degree you got, Mr. John? I said, I got 3 master's degrees. Well, I got a doctor's degree, so that'd be, I'm higher than you, so you better watch what you're saying. And then I get them called all the time, like before I teach, they come to me. Now, you look out. I'm monitoring you and Brother Emery. Brother Henry says, Brother John, what do you mean by that? You know, I said, you don't know what that means? Yeah, I said, yeah, if you're teaching, they want to call one talk, you say, you sound all right, but I'm higher than you. I just want you to know that. And I'm monitoring. I wrote a book on demonology. I wrote a book on how to cast spirit, demons out of spirit. And the moment they say that, guess what? And then both him and I can hear a voice says, he's lying. I can do this, and I did this. He's lying. And you're going to teach on demons. You better watch it, because I wrote a couple of books on that. And then this unquiet voice in my spirit say, he's lying. But I don't say, sometimes I get mad and say, oh, you lying, sucker. Do I need to call that college and find out about you? click, and hit me front up on my face at that time, see? Okay. All right. So demons, they can quote scriptures. They teach their own doctrines. They transform themselves into angels of light. They encourage evil men to pervert righteousness. They can afflict your body. They can tempt you to do hypocrisy stuff and tempt you to lie. Because every time somebody asks you a question and you know good and well, if you say that can cost you a job, I can cost you a divorce, I can cost you some other kind of problem. And did you do that? No! Who, me? Please. You insult me. I remember I used to do that story back in my days, boy. And then I go, oh, my God. As soon as I get a chance, I go run in the house. And go, even when I'm getting the car to go home, I get in the car, Lord, please forgive me. I lied. I know you heard me. I know you heard me. Please forgive me because I don't want to die in an accident. Then I stand before you and say, John, haven't you read Revelation 21:8? What does Revelation 21:8 says? It says pervert, homosexuals, this, that, going to bust hell open. And what was the last thing they said? It says, and all liars. Huh? Y'all, I was shocked when I saw that. I thought lying was just a little simple thing. Say, yeah, I'm 7 when I'm 80, you know, kind of thing. That's a lie. See? And nothing, ain't nothing unclean going to come into that kingdom. That kingdom going to be something else. So, sometime when I used to work and the boss told me to do something, Dan, did you do that for me? I said, yes, sir. And then when he go, okay, good man. Appreciate you. I go to my office, go, oh, God. I get upset. Go, oh, God. And something to you, you lied, my son. You lied. My children do not lie. You lied. And I got to go, oh. Then I close the door, you know, and get him on his floor. I'm sorry. Did I lie? Because he said, there's no big sin and little sin in my kingdom. Sin is sin. He says, if two fellows get in a cab, one was a child rapist, but he never was caught. And then one just told lies all the time. Yeah, man. Hey, girl. Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah. I'm 32. He might be 42 or 52. I'm 32, baby. You know, so and it's lying, stuff like that. Did you get that thing done? Yes, sir. Sure did. And then we go. And then you go get it done. He says, a child rapist, a homosexual, a lesbian, a murderer who got away and never got caught, and you in a cab with them, and all y'all get killed. He was in the bus, and all y'all get killed, and all y'all go stand for God. He guess what? When he said, depart from me, you work iniquity, you can tell it to the sinner, you can tell it to the liar, the thief, the murderer, the rapist, the masturbator, and then he look at you and say, depart from me. But I ain't did all that stuff they did. Lord, all that did was just lie every now and then. Say, you ain't just lied every now and then. You lied your whole dog on life. Depart from me, you work iniquity. No! The Bible says there's no such thing as little sin and big sin. Now, that hurt me, boy. I start monitoring everything I do, and I say, I'll be dog. Sometimes I get caught with a boss, and I hear something, and if I know if I tell the truth, I say, well, what's your problem, son, you know? I'm going to have to let you go or whatever, you know? And then one time I just stuck my neck out. I said, did you do that before for me, John? I said, no, sir. I said, to be honest with you, I had these interruptions, so. He says, you know what? You could have said yes, and I don't know you've been lying to me. He says, I respect you. I admire you. Go ahead and do it for me, okay? I said, yes, sir. I said, if I told that guy to lie, he'd say, I can't even trust John. He's lying to me, he's his supervisor, you know? Okay, I got, 15 more minutes to go? All right. Let's see, what I want to talk about. Okay, what I want to do is talk about, I hate talking like a machine gun. I talk about one of the main demons. The main one, some call principalities, one got powers, they all got different responsibilities. But the one I want to talk about is I got only 15 more minutes to talk. 7:30 to 8:30 to 9. Okay, I suppose you shut up at 9 because that's when the system be cut off. There's one, y'all. I want y'all to remember this one. It's called a familiar spirit. I can talk about sexual spirits, lying spirits, and all that, but this is the big dog. This one is called the familiar spirit. Familiar spirits. And you got unclean spirits, you got evil spirits. Oh, thank you, Lord. You showed me something else too you want me to jump on. You got other three major spirits. One is called spirit of infirmity, one is called seducing spirits, and other one called unclean spirits. These are demons. Now, say, what are spirits of infirmity, Brother John? Say, well, these are spirits that afflict the bodies of believers as well as unbelievers. In other words, they were called to bring down sickness and whatever, cancer, whatever, on believers and non-believers, you know. And sometimes you know, so both have to pray about it. Some get it because they've been doing something like smoking cigarettes, stuff like that. But a lot of them get it because they've been afflicted by a spirit of infirmity. That's a demonic spirit. So he don't pray. I can affect his body. I can make disease on it. I'm going to put AIDS on it. That's what I do. I'm going to put AIDS. I'm giving him herpes and this kind of stuff. So you got spiritual infirmity. Then you got seducing spirits. What is a seducing spirit, Brother John? Well, seducing spirits, they afflict the spirit of man. They seduce him to believe lies, doctrinal lies, okay? Tongues have ceased. Now, y'all, some of y'all might be understanding this, but I got to see what the Lord said. You know what? I was raised up a Methodist and a Baptist. 20 years as a Baptist, I mean Methodist. In all of 20 years, tongues have ceased. Then I moved to Atlanta, married a Baptist woman. I didn't want her to join my Methodist church. So I joined her Baptist church, and it's all I heard. We have his written word. There's no tongues and all that. Then finally, I went back home and asked another minister. He said, they speak in error, John. He said, tell you what, you just go ahead and talk to the Lord about it. And he said, yeah, you come go to my church. We went there one Saturday night. My sister lived there and I had to move. And went down and he says, now, you said tongues and seas. He said, I said, I don't know what to believe. I haven't really soaked it up kind of thing. I said, that's why I'm still. He said, you know why you unsatisfied? Because that's the Holy Spirit trying to show you that that's false doctrine. Not that the pastor is a crook. It's just that false doctrine. That's what he's been taught. You figure the man knew what he's talking about since he's been the professor at that seminary for 20, 30 years. I said, that's true. And so he says, there's only one thing that can hinder you from taking it because I know you're saved because you told me you were saved. But are you in sin? I said, no. He said, you been telling any lies lately? I said, no, I learned a long time ago. He said, you're not cheating behind your white back? I said, oh, heck no. Mm-mm. And he said, well, are you having sex with another man? I said, nah, man, I'm going to punch you in the mouth. I ain't no doggone faggot now. Okay? And he goes, okay, Brother Johnson. He said, so you had, I said, and besides, every night before I go to bed, I said, you know what I do? He said, what's that? I said, Lord, I am sorry for all my sins. I ask you to forgive me for the sins known and the ones unknown. Usually what is known is when I be preaching like this and the guy called, I'm coming to beat your butt. I don't like what you're teaching, especially the part about tongues have not ceased. I'm coming. And you know how they, instead of saying don't come down and kick my butt, they come down there and they're going to ball jack me. In other words, I'm going to screw you in your ass and make a face. Can you imagine it? I'm just talking about the bad ones, not the good ones, the bad ones, not all, okay? Because may God slap me down right now if I say all. I didn't say all. I said some of them, you know? And some call me, talk to me before I came on, and I say, praise the Lord, Brother John. We preach it. We like your study, man. That's good, man. We wish you, and some say, please teach about demonology again tonight. I know you did last night, but we want to hear it again because, I mean, we learned a lot of stuff. So there's a lot of mighty, honest Bible men of God. Like I said, you got the bad and the good in each case. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you happen to be in a church where there's no tongue, don't worry about it. You ain't going to hell because you don't speak in tongues. Ain't nothing the Bible says. If you don't speak in tongues, you're going to go to hell. That's a lie, okay? That's just some help you can get. Like, here's some weapon for you. If you can speak in tongues, when you get ready to pray, then the Holy Spirit will pray for you. When you want to pray for your cousin, your sister, your mama, you just go, my God, heal my mama, heal my daddy. But when you say, Holy Spirit, you know exactly what mama needs, daddy. So I'm going to let you pray for me, please. In the name of Jesus, take over. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, pray for me, intercede for me, Holy Spirit. And you for in Jesus' name. See? And the Holy Spirit took over and prayed for you. See, because when you speak in tongues, it ain't you. My heart don't know what I'm saying. My spirit don't know what I'm saying. But that's the Holy Spirit using my vocal cord. Because what? The Bible says our bodies are what? The temple of the Holy Spirit. Real believers, we got the Holy Spirit in us. I don't know how he does it, but he's in every believer. So sometimes if I'm going to work, I had a problem, don't know what to do. If I misplace something in the house, you know what I do? I say, Holy Spirit, would you please tell me? I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for me that I find myself. And I go, and then all the thoughts say, look outside in your car. Give me a thought. And I go, well, I'm thinking that. I don't even let me in my car and my keys in the car. I go out there in the parking lot, and there was in the ashtray. Not that, it's an ashtray, but I don't smoke. But that's where it is sitting in the tray. I said, happy to. I said, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That's what I do. So when I lose something now, I don't know where it is. That's always forget to tell me. And, you know, it thought it might be 10, 15, 20 minutes, might be an hour, just testing me, you know, and I go around still search. I said, Lord, please, now, I ain't got all day. You know, the next thing the thought says, look here, look there, and there it is, you see. But you got to be righteous. You can't be saying, because you got a title, you know, because you're an evangelist or something. That don't cut it. Because you got all these degrees in there. That don't cut it either. He ain't looking at that. That don't impress him. He looks at your spirit and your soul. Do you love Jesus? The Holy Spirit again, do you love Jesus? He ain't got to ask you. You already know. Because he know what you're doing when it get dark. You know what you're doing when you go out of town. He knows what you're doing when you're going to this meeting. He knows what you're doing when you're going. He knows everything. So you never be able to speak in tongues, and you never get and never hear God speak, because God don't speak to hypocrites. So the three things: one is you got spirit of infirmity; they cause sickness on your body. Then you got seducing spirit; they seduce you to believe doctrinal lies and all that stuff. They seduce a person to believe doctrinal lies and be condemned to eternal punishment, because if you don't believe Jesus, Son of God, you know that's a doctor. I don't believe he's a carpenter's son. Only one person died for you, and that was Jesus, not good deeds. Like a lot of these religions going around knocking on people's doors, talking about with Jehovah's Witness and all this kind of stuff and everything. Oh, they thinking they're earning their kingdom. And nothing in that doctrine say you got to accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. What they're doing is trying to earn ranks and stuff. They go knocking on every door. And if you turn them down, they're not mad. They say, well, the Bible says when you go to somebody to witness to them and they turn their back on you, you just shake the dust off your shoes, you know, and keep on going. So that's the way you look at it. Joe wouldn't like, I come to witness to you, Joe witness up butt out of my door, you know. And then they happy. They ain't not mad because you told me to go to hell. They happy because they did. God can see that. They went and knocked on your door. So you become a Jehovah Witness. Okay? So you got spirits of infirmity and you got seducing spirits. And then you got what you call unclean spirits. These demonic powers afflict the soulish nature of man. They are responsible for immoral acts. They are responsible, I'm talking about unclean spirits. They're responsible for unclean thoughts. They're also responsible for temptations and other strategies that Satan used to bind men and women. And repeat that. Unclean spirits. These demonic spirits afflict the soulish nature, your nature, what you are. They are responsible for all the immoral acts that you do. And you know how you start it? Because the thoughts came to me, I sure want to do, I want to smoke some weed. I want to rape somebody. I'm going to get away with it. I'm going to sack her. I'll make her think I want to marry her and all this stuff just to get her a little butt and then just disappear after I get a little bit. They are responsible for immoral acts, thinking all kind of nasty stuff and everything. Well, he's monitoring your thoughts too. Like I said, you can't hide from God. You can have mama, daddy, your brother, sister, your congregation members, your fellow members, your best friend and all that. You can hide from them, but you can't hide from God. So they, unclean spirits, they respond for your moral acts, unclean thoughts, and temptations and other strategies of Satan, whatever strategy God gives you, get you to get you to do what you want to do, which is simple. When Satan controls individuals with unclean spirits, guess what? He can also operate in homes and churches and entice nations. And so sometimes he can get so bad, the husband always beating up on the wife, always screaming, cussing and everything else, come home drunk and everything else. But I said, Satan controls individuals with unclean spirits. He can operate in homes and in churches, when he have the members not agreeing with the pastor. The pastor trying to run the church. I don't think he should do that. You tell him to dig who he think he is. We don't want no new church, but we ought to get rid of him and stuff like that. I remember they wanted to get rid of my pastor back down in Savannah. He was about like 72 years old, and I was a deacon. I was one of the deacons, about to be promoted as head deacon. And they had a little secret meeting, so I went to the meeting. So we need to get rid of him. He's number the old coon. We need some young chicks, man. He said to him, praise the Lord, everybody. God bless you, honey. God bless you. So he can just beg me. Say, we need somebody young, good looking, can talk, man, and draw all these young people in and everything else, man. We drying out. We need to get rid of his butt. We got to find some things in it. I tell you what, we're going to have a meeting, and then we're going to call him and tell him that we, the deacon, decided that he must go. We don't want him no more. And we're paying for his little salary and kick him on out the door. And the man was just as sweet and humble as he can be. Love the Lord and everything else. So we all abandon and say, well, we're going to call him in the meeting Friday night. Okay, Man, come Friday, that was Wednesday. Man, that Friday morning, Pastor, the wife answered, "Hello there, Deacon John." I said, "How you doing, Scott?" And she said, "I know who y'all." I said, "Can I speak to your husband, please?" "Hold on a minute. Reverend, Deacon John want to speak to you." "Who?" "Deacon John." And then she goes, "Hey, Brother John, how you doing, Deacon?" I said, "Sir, I got something to tell you you ain't going to like. But I'm telling this to you in faith that you won't squeal on me. It's something you really need to know." I said, "What's that?" I said, "Them deacons don't want you no more. They say you troll and you're losing everybody and nobody joined the church no more. And we need a young pastor, young attractive, that can get the young folks in and keep people in and everything like that." And he says, "Oh, my Lord." I said, "They're going to call you to come to a meeting tomorrow night. You can go if you want, and you don't have to go if you don't want, because all these is going to gang up on you and stuff like that." So that Friday evening, I went to the church around 7 o'clock that evening, and when he called him, well, he hugged me and kissed me, and she said, "Thank you, Brother John. God bless you." And I had a peace, and I prayed that night, "Lord." I said, "Lord, I did what I had to do. I don't care if them deacons turn on me. If he says, Deacon John told me what y'all up to, then I would have to leave that church." But he didn't do that because he had respect for me. Guess what? He didn't even show up. We had to meet at 8 o'clock. They didn't even show up. So I have got just one more minute, y'all. So God bless you. There's a few other things I could have said. I wanted to talk about that familiar spirit. And I'm not sure a familiar spirit is a spirit that follows you around, like somebody in the shadow running behind every tree hiding, watching everything you do. And they take it back to Satan. Then Satan will assign a demon to you to really drag you down, because he know what your weaknesses are. And that familiar spirit tell Jesus and everybody, tell Satan what your weakness is. And so if you've got weak and alcoholic, then Satan will deal with assign an alcoholic demon who specializes in that and always put them close. "I just got to have this one more. And before you know it, you become a drunken alcoholic." So my time right now is, my clock saying 9 o'clock. I'm speaking ever since 8:30. It's 8:30 to 9. No, wait a minute. I was finishing 7:30, 8:30, and 8:39. It's an hour and a half. God bless you, and I hope you got some of the things out of it. And the Lord, I love you, and so does the Lord. God bless you, everybody, and good night.